authority, and I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed.
Oh, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. Well, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. Oh, no, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did. He woke me up this morning.
Call me, but he did. Oh, he woke me up this morning and started me on my way. He didn't have to call me, but he did.
No, he didn't have to bless me, but he did.
He didn't have to bless me, but he did. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way.
He didn't have to bless me,
blessed to be here tonight. And thankful that he got me up this morning, got me on my way. I didn't get too far this morning, but I did get up. Thankful that the Lord gave me a warm place to live and shelter and food to eat and friends to call upon, and most importantly, God, be able to call on Him and know that He's there and He cares for me. And I appreciate being able to come to church tonight. And thankful the roads were clear enough to be able to come here. And I was wondering whether we was going to make it, but we made it. And so pray for my wife and Ethan. They're home. Ethan's not feeling good tonight. And pray for our service today. We're kind of low on saints, but the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling Him. I'm feeling His presence and enjoying His fellowship. And so I praise God for that. And it's good to have family, that, you know, the family of God. We come and fellowship one with another and know that we feel that family spirit and feel like that we're members one of another. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm feeling good tonight. And feeling like the Lord loves me. And so I know you all are thankful to be here. And I don't know if any y'all have any prayer requests, but I know that the Crows and Brother Smith, I'm not sure. Does anybody know the?
He's headed to Houston.
Okay. Just pray for him, because the road, you know, they have traveling mercy, and the Lord will watch over him. Yes. Okay. Sister Holly, Brother Crafton. Okay. All right, Sister Crafton. All right. Okay. Sister Fisher. Okay. Well, I can understand, you know, and it's going to get really cold tonight, and so does anybody know about the weather? Is it, we going to get any precipitation tonight?
Tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Okay. All right, so we can relax and worship the Lord. It's going to be a little cold going home, but we can handle that. So, yes, Brother Stewart. Okay. Okay, Sister Bryant and Brother York, his family. So, Sister Rachel Stewart. Okay. Yeah, it's not just Brother Smith. Who all's going? We got several going to the Houston. All right. So let's have them in our minds and our prayers, and for the meeting down in Houston, that the Lord be with them. And okay, Brother Lacey. Yes, Sister Inez. Let's keep her in our prayers. I know. y'all have been praying for her. So, okay. Well, let's stand and take these requests to the Lord, and if our ushers would come up. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, for your love to us, oh God. Oh God, would you touch our needs, oh God, tonight, Lord. Oh God, Sister Watson, oh God, touch your body, Lord. Brother Smith, oh God, in his trip, oh God, and the meeting in Houston, Lord. Oh God, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Oh God, we need you, Lord. We need your touch, oh God. Oh Jesus, Lord. Oh God, would you touch the crows and comfort them, Lord. Oh God. Oh God, those that are sick, Sister Rachel Stewart, oh God. Oh God. Dear Jesus, the Yorks family, oh God. Brian, Sister Brian, oh God. Jesus, would you touch her, Lord. Sister Donna and her surgery, oh God. Oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness to us tonight, oh God. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Bye. I'm blessed, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I didn't know if we were going to have service tonight because of all the snow and the ice, but I'm glad we did because, it's always beneficial to me, at least, that I always get something, no matter what church service it is, no matter how many people are able to make it, or no matter how the service goes, it's good to be reminded that that I am blessed, and of all the places I could be, that I am here, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I'm not going to talk long, but I wanted to express my gratitude to God for all the things that He's done for me and He's doing for us on a daily basis. Even some of the things that I failed to realize or fail to see, that even some of the little things, that little ways that God works in my life and the little ways that He blesses me, I want to acknowledge Him for that tonight and give Him a praise for it, and just raise my hands and give Him all praise and just praise Him with all my might and all my body, all my voice, all my singing, because He is so good. I was listening to the radio on my way up here tonight, and it was one of those nights where I don't really have a lot on my mind. I'm just kind of going about my daily routine. I wasn't really focusing so hard on what this service was going to be tonight. I was just thinking, well, I'm on my way to church, and I was listening to the radio, and there's a station I like to listen to. It's a praise and worship station, plays different kinds of praise music, and one of the people was saying on it, said, if you don't have anything else to think about tonight, think about the things He's done for you. Think about the blessings He's given you. Think about the times He touched your body. Think about the times He touched your mind. And think about the times He gave you a blessing. And I said, yes, Lord, I want to think about those times all the time. Don't let me get stuck in a routine, Lord. Remind me constantly, day by day, that I truly am blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings You've given me. Thank You. Thank You every day, every moment of the day, every hour. Thank You for the blessings. I'm here to praise Him tonight. I want to give Him a praise. I want to give Him a praise with all my heart. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for all You've done for me. Thank You for this wonderful opportunity to be a part of the work You're doing, to grow in You, to grow in body and in spirit with Your people, with the family of God.
Nights that could very well require 100% participation. So I was just thinking as I was singing that song, I thought probably a bunch of y'all out there going, how on earth did she connect that with those other courses? Where did we get Fill My Cup, Lord, from I Am Blessed? But did they have the words up on the band song? We Are So Blessed. And the chorus that came to my mind from the chorus where it was saying, when we're empty, He fills us till we overflow. When we're hungry, He feeds us. That's the blessings right there. And it's not just natural, you know, but that is where our blessings are coming from. When He fills us, when He provides whatever those needs are. So that's just, in case you were wondering how on earth I jumped from that, it was random, you know. I was thinking of those blessings, but then thinking too, you know, that sometimes I get away from the table a little bit. You know, I am not a starving person by any stretch of the imagination. But today, by the time I got off work and headed home, my stomach was rumbling, and I was hungry. I ate today. I ate twice. I ate breakfast. I ate lunch when I had lunch. But by the time I got home, I was hungry. I was ready to eat again. And that's the way I want to be spiritually, you know, is yes, I'm blessed. Yes, He's filled me. But it's time to go back for some more, you know. I want to get hungry again. I want to keep hungering and thirsting. And I do. I want more of that. I want more of what those blessings are in whatever it is that He feels like I need. So, anyway, I just share that. So I wonder, I am appreciative of being here tonight and thankful for what we have.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, and as a small crowd that we have, we can still be thankful and we get our cup filled, and that's what we came here for, wasn't it? At least that's what I came here for. That was my intentions, and then you know, you get your cup filled, and it spills over, and somebody else can put it right under there, and under the spout where the glory comes out. And so I'm thankful to be here. But I had a thought. I was thinking of the prayer request we had, and I know God blessed us to live in this, to be born in, or however we got here, to live in this great country, don't we? Even with all its problems, and I mean, I've got concerns for this country. I know y'all have too. And I told Brother Brad I had to quit listening to talk radio because it's more than my pay grade. In other words, I can't handle that, you know. And so, and then I'm talking about Christian talk radio. I'm not talking about just, you know, it's just too much, you know. And even though I believe in some of the things that they're you know, some of the platforms they come across, I believe that's good. And you know, they say if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, won't you? And so I appreciate the people who make a stand and can you know, hold true and stand in the gap, as it were, and follow through and I know God called us for different things, didn't He? And so I can, like Brother Tucker used to tell Tyrone, I'm just a little man, I do the best I can. When I get a little bigger, I'll cut a bigger figure. And that's the way I feel still, you know. You know, the funny thing is, along with being thankful, we're thankful for the things we learn and learn about the Word of God, what we learn about ourselves, don't we? But the problem with that is that the more we know, the more we know we need. You know, the more we know, we need to know. And we see the greater, create a greater desire because the more we see, the more we see our inadequacies, too, unfortunately. But at the same time, we realize God gives us grace to overcome, doesn't He? And gives us strength. The Bible says it's from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And that's how we operate in it. We may get knocked down. We're getting back up. We're going forward, aren't we? And we set our face like a flint and seeking the things of God. And so we get that determination to do that. And even though I say that, I'm like you, or even worse, you know. I get discouraged, you know. I get frustrated. All those, what was the D's, you know, doubts and depression and all these things, and you know, that we battle with. You know, it's nothing that's uncommon to man, is it? And we're going to be tempted in all points. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be tempted in all points. But thank God that we got a great Savior tonight, and God called His Son to be a propitiation for us, didn't He? I mean, He came and did the job and made a way. So I thank God for that. I thank God, you know, especially us. I don't know how many Jews are here or not, but I'm not one, so I'm really thankful that that God grafted us in. an old wild branch, wasn't we? You know, and you know, and the closer I get to God, the more I realize that's the truth. You know, but you know, we as Christians, we do have our you know, the Jews had their there, what was it? Was it 2,000 years of the law? And now we've had a 2,000 year almost of law. It's supposed to have been the law of grace, and we hope that it is. And I don't know. I'll tell you what I've had to do. Now I realize this. I've been under a schoolmaster, but I needed it. I needed it. There's certain things that I didn't have faith for. And until we have faith, we're under that schoolmaster, aren't we? And Brother Durham was talking about the conscience, you know, the lesson he gave, and that was good, wasn't it? But the Bible says something about the Gentiles not having law, but having a conscience, which was a law unto themselves, wasn't it? Either accusing or excusing themselves one way or the other. So, but thank God that, you know, that God put that in our hearts, that we can have that and realize that not only that we have a schoolmaster, but we can be under the law of grace and go on with God and have these things available to us that... that we've learned through the years. My God, I'm thankful for the reformers that went before us, and that God touched their hearts and gave them a glimpse of light, and and the things that they suffered. There was many. You know, I tell you what, it's just like, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11, the people of faith, you know. And it talks about the great people, Samson and Elisha and all these people that God used. But it also talks about the people that, that this world was not worthy of. Accepting not deliverance so they might receive a better resurrection. There's no mention of their names, are there? And the same as reformers and people of that, there's no mention of a lot of them. Now, Fox's Book of Mortars has a lot of them in there. But, you know, we hit the high points sometimes. Martin Luther and the Wesley boys and all these things like that, you know, because that was a big event. But there's other people that led up to that event, and then even though we may not remember, but God's got them got them written in His heart, doesn't He? God knows who they are, and the sacrifice they made. So I want to give honor to those people who worked the road before us, and no matter what where they came from, it wasn't, that was a job. They were called of God to do that, and even though we might. We might not be a shining star, as it were. We might not be on the forefront of the deal, And matter of fact, I don't want to be. If when God talks about the apostles, they had a rough life, didn't they? I mean, think Apostle Paul was beat of how many times of cat and nine tails or. Three times, 49 times, something like that, or for 39 times, the things, I'm sure all the other apostles suffered similar things, even though, that wasn't much said. It just, we kind of had a little short history, and then it switched over to Apostle Paul, didn't it? Because there was a movement going on, wasn't there? Started in the household of Cornelius, didn't it? And it just moved on, and then thank God. Somewhere, from all that, God put mine and your name in the pot, didn't He? Oh, my God. Isn't that great? Well, and then, I was thinking, we had prayer requests here today. And there's something about calling on the name of the Lord. There's a scripture somewhere, but I know Brother Daniels knows where it's at. It says, He heals all our diseases, doesn't He? Isn't that right, Brother Daniels? Isn't that the scripture? Isn't that what the Scripture says? He heals all our disease. Now, I don't know when and where, I thought, I was thinking about this a little bit today. And I thought, well, I've got to believe God regardless. He's going to heal all my diseases. Is it going to be on this life or on the other side of the grave? Because I'm coming back up. I'm coming back. I'll be back. And so I don't know. But I have to take that faith like the three Hebrew children did. Because they said, we don't know. We will not bow down to your image, O King. Live forever, you know. But we will be delivered one way or the other. And whether God does it, if He don't, we'll still be delivered out of your hand. Because they had a faith in God. They knew He was going to be delivered. Because He heals all our diseases, doesn't He? And, you know, I'm thinking tonight, there are some great needs that were mentioned here today, you know. And He heals all our diseases. And how do you know that? Because there was an event that happened. One time, Jesus took some apostles up on a hill. And, you know, and they tried, you know, pray with Him for a while. They got sleepy and tired. They slept, you know, and all of a sudden, there was something happened, an event happened. There was a transfiguration. It looked like there was Jesus and, who was it, Elisha and Moses, wasn't it? And Peter said, Lord, Lord, shall we make three tabernacles, you know, and all this? And there was a voice out of heaven, wasn't there? It said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Because He heals all our diseases, doesn't He? Hear ye Him. He heals all our diseases. And so, let us believe that. I want to be simple enough to believe that. And at the same time, I want to understand the deep things of the Word of God. But have that simple faith. Because God said, and when He wrote through the lips of Paul, He said, though I speak with the tongues of angels, men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as it was a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have all knowledge and understand all mysteries, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So He didn't say to remain ignorant, did He? He didn't say those things. He said, yes, by all means, find out what it means. Seek me while you can. And, you know, do those things. But at the same time, there's that simple faith when God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And so that's what I feel. And I'm feeling that tonight. I feel that God wants us to hear ye Him. Because He is the true vine, isn't He? And He is a resurrection. My Lord, I think of those things. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Because His Father said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And I'm thinking of my Lord, my Savior tonight. I can't help it. I can't help it. I appreciate the vehicle of the body of Christ that we have. And it is something here. And all the other things that we've gone through. I was raised in the Assembly of God, and I sure appreciate what they did for me. They wouldn't, you know, it was they just taught me the things that I knew, and I felt touches of God, and I had stammering lips. I never received the Holy Ghost there, but I got stammering lips, and I appreciate that so much. My mother was faithful to take us boys there, make us go to church. She was my schoolmaster, wasn't she? And I thank God for it. And she was my schoolmaster, and now faith has come, and she don't have to make me go to church no more. Cuss, I got a little bigger, too. But I do appreciate the things of God tonight. And I, Lord, give me ears to hear and eyes to see. So when the time comes and I'm up against the wall, I hear that voice. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. And all the promises of God. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
We are so blessed. Thank the Lord. thank the Lord for all His grace and His mercy upon us. We winter's here, isn't it? Ready or not, it's here. I was beginning to think that winter was going to pass us by. But it didn't. I was on my way home from work today and driving down the road and see the ice and the snow on the shoulders and up in the hills and the trees. And I liked it. I liked to see it. I know that probably don't sit well with some of y'all. But I grew up, you know, growing up, we always had snow to play in, and, you know, you could always count on two or three good snows a year. And I was looking at some of those pictures out of the Northeast today where they were open, they'd open their front door, and it was just a wall of snow. I don't like that. I wouldn't like that. Yeah, I got a boundary there. Mayor of Boston was getting on to people for jumping out of the second-story windows into the snowbank. That sounds fun to me. Of course, you'd want to know what you're jumping into. But. Praise God. But here we are tonight. We have a desire. In spite of the cold, in spite of the wet weather, we have a desire to go on with the Lord, to keep this beacon lit, to keep this lighthouse torch lit. You know, it's a calling, Sister Stewart's song. He didn't have to call us, but He did. It's our calling. It's a motivation. You know, when Brother Smith asked me to take responsibility for the video initially, when Brother Eugene Montgomery was here and taking care of the PA, I really didn't want to do it because I didn't know what I was doing. Some might argue you still don't know what you're doing. That's probably true. It'd probably be a fair argument. But I was nervous, and I remember, I've never told Brother Boyd this yet, but I'm getting ready to tell him right now. I remember when he crafted that booth there, and it was so pretty and finished out so nice. My heart would skip a beat. I'd get nervous when I go to open that door to walk up into that booth because I didn't feel like I belonged there. I didn't feel like I didn't have the confidence that I wasn't comfortable walking into that setting because there's so many questions and so many unknowns and so many things that I didn't know. And then I was afraid to scratch it. You know how it goes. And but you know, as time went on, and you know, I suppose I probably know more about all that stuff up there than anybody else, except maybe Brother Weiniger. And I still like to ask him questions sometimes about the audio. And but there's still, I still get anxious about, you know, what I'm getting myself into. And you know, that it's just, that's true. Just like, you know, if you got out in this weather, there's such an unknown. You know, you get out in the weather and you don't know. Brother Durham was telling me that he got out on I-30 and was running 55, and then all of a sudden there's black ice everywhere and 18-wheelers are sliding and he's sliding. I'm sorry, Brother Durham, if Sister Durham didn't know that. She does now. I went on my way to work today we've got this long hill, which I love it. And I love going down this hill, but not on ice. And all year long, when y'all know I ride a motorcycle often to work, and this hill, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just a long, it's a tall, long hill, and you can see for miles. And so when I go through there on my motorcycle for many years now, I've always coasted down that hill. And I'll always just take my hand off the throttle and I'll just praise God. I'll just give Him praise because it's so pretty. It's just so beautiful and it changes. You never know if the clouds are in the background or the sun's lit up the sky. You know, it's just one of those things that I like. Well, going up that hill in the wintertime can kind of get a little dicey. And so today there was a guy, he was off in the ditch, you know, like that. And wasn't nothing I could do to help him, but I had four-wheel drive. So I had confidence. You know, I saw that he was stuck off on the ditch, and I knew there wasn't nothing I could do, but I still had to get on my way. And so I just locked my four-wheel drive in and went right on up, you know, took my time. And, you know, there's just something to be said about having confidence in what you're called to do. You know, it was my time to go to work. That's what I do. You know, one day at home for bad weather was about all that Gladys could stand. She said, "Go to work, Nathan. That's what you do." No, she wanted me to stay home. I wanted to go to work, actually. But it, when you have that confidence that this is what I do, this is where I'm going, I know what I need to do, it makes things so much simpler. And so when you rise up in the morning and you know that the Lord is going to meet your needs, that He's going to feed you, that He's going to put a roof above your head, He's going to take care of your family. I mentioned this before, you know, like when I first time I left my wife and new baby at home and went to work, I just had to put them in the hands of God. Well, it's a lot easier today to do that than it was the first time I did that. The first time I walked out that door, shut the car door and drove down to the end of the block, I stopped there at the stop sign. I remember, I haven't thought about this in a long time. We lived in a little subdivision up in Lowell, Arkansas, and I remember backing out of my driveway and stopping there at the stop sign about a block away and crying and saying, "Lord, I just put them in your hands. I have no choice today but to trust that you'll take care of my family." And, well, it's gotten easier over time. But, you know, the thing about it is, the confidence that I have and the confidence that people have been talking about here tonight, the blessing that we have isn't the confidence. It's not that we have confidence in our own strength. It's that we have confidence that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, whether it's a healing in our body, like Brother Thompson was saying, that heals all of our diseases, whether it's a peace of mind that we're looking for, whether it's a financial need, or in this life or the life to come, God provides all of our needs. Praise God. He is our provider. Hallelujah. And so I was thinking tonight there in the 10th chapter of Luke where Jesus sent the 70. And, you know, you cannot give somebody something if they have closed hands. Whether it's, you know, you can't fill a cup that's turned upside down. I mentioned this before. You know, a brother offended is like a walled city. It's harder won than a walled city. If your heart is closed, people can't win your affection if your heart is closed. Now, there could be an act of violence, and they could, you know, bring in a battering ram back in those days or stick of dynamite and blow a hole in it, but that's not going to solve the problem. That's just going to, you know, and people try that. That's where a lot of relationships go south. They go sour is because they don't look for the key. They don't have enough patience to find the key to unlock the heart of their spouse that they're having trouble with. They try to force it. They try to force, you know, a relationship. Well, you know, you can't do that. It might work for a moment, but it won't last. And so Jesus sent the 70 out in Luke 10, and he gave them instructions. He sent them out, the Bible says, by two. And he said in the second verse, he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Now, that would be quite an intimidating calling, if you will, to be told. Jesus told his disciples. He said, "I send you as lambs before wolves." In other words, he already told them. He said, "Look, you have no defense. They will slaughter you. You know, they will chew you up and spit you out," is what he was telling them. And so he said, "Furthermore, don't carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." He said, "Into whatsoever house ye enter, first say ye, peace be to this house." You know, I mean, basically he took, if they had, you know, if they were packing a pistol, or if they had any defensive armor, if they had, you know, a wad of cash, and they couldn't buy favor. They couldn't use their brawn and their power to demand favor. He told them that they were lambs among wolves. They couldn't, you know, come in like they were some conquering army there to like a crusade, that we're the Christians and we're here to claim the city. They didn't go in like that. They couldn't, you know, use their power, their political influence to persuade the cities that they were in. Jesus told him, he said, "Don't take scrip, don't take purse." He said, "You're a lamb among wolves." He said, "In fact, go in so humble that you say, 'Peace. I bring nothing to you but peace to this house.'" He took away all of their defenses. And he said, "If the Son be peace there, your peace shall rest. And if not, it shall turn to you again." He said, "If you'll do this, if you'll approach these cities like I'm instructing you, then you, if you'll do it just like I'm instructing you, your flesh won't rise up into any of that. You won't feel a need to stake your claim or to make your political stand. You won't feel a need to write your name. The only name that you'll be interested in writing is the name of God." And so he said, "Your peace will remain." He said, "In the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." So he was telling them, he said, if you're received in the house, then relax, enjoy it. I hope that you feel that way in this congregation. I hope that you come into this, you know, I'm not just talking about tonight, but in this congregation, I hope that you relax, that you are able to eat and drink, that you're able to sing and testify, that you're able to feel your liberty in the Lord and just be able to be at peace, to let the peace of God rule your heart as you're sitting in this congregation. And that's how I see how he was instructing his disciples. He said, "But if ye enter into a city," "and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you." He said, "Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, 'The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.'" Basically, he was just telling them, look, if you will be at peace, And you won't worry about defending yourself. You know, God told Moses, he said, hold your peace. He said, I'll fight your battles. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you won't worry about defending yourself, if you'll set your guard, if you'll set your guard down, and you'll trust and come in the name of the Lord, he said, you'll heal the sick. You'll be fed. You'll be cared for. God will provide. He said, but if you go into a city and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, I can tell you from my vantage point, I would never want to do that. I would never want to feel so strong about a group of people that I just felt compelled to write them off. To me, that would be heartbreaking to just say, you know, the kingdom of God came nigh unto you, but you won't receive it. I'm sorry, we got to move on. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. Well, no doubt they did that. There's no doubt in my mind that they went into certain cities and those people didn't receive them. There's no doubt in my mind that they went into certain cities and they encountered people that abused them or took advantage of them or wouldn't, you know, didn't feed them or mistreated them. There's no doubt in my mind that they experienced rejection on more than one occasion. But Jesus prepared them for that when he told them, he said he was preparing them in the way he's in this way that he was building their faith, that their trust, their hope, their vision, their direction, everything that motivated them was in God, was in the kingdom of God, not their own kingdom. It wasn't, it wasn't something that they were building, but it was something that God was building and he was using them. And that's why we're blessed. It's not something that we're doing. It's something that God's doing, but he's using us to do it. Praise God. He didn't have to call us, but he did. Hallelujah. He said, and Jesus told him, he said, look, if you do that for a city, they won't receive you. He said, I hate to say it, but it would be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. In other words, if they reject you, that's powerful. He said, look, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the kingdom of God. And if they do, it would have been more tolerable for Sodom. You know, we live in a world like that. I was visiting with one of my colleagues the other day, and we were talking about morality and this nation's morality. And I asked him, and he, perhaps someday he'll come to church with us. So I hope you won't hold this against him, but right now he doesn't go to church anywhere. And he lives with a girl, So it was delicate for me on how I approached it, because I didn't want to offend him. It was a philosophical conversation more than anything. But I said, who sets morality in this nation? Where do people go for their morality? If there's no God allowed in school, and these kids are there more, they're in school more than they're at home, and their parents don't take them to church. Where do they get their standard of morality? Do they get it in school? Well, not so much. They do get some. Do they get it? Where do they get it? They get it on TV. They get it. Some of them get it in sports. Their coaches teach them, hey, you can't do that to somebody. You know, there's rules you got to follow. Some of them get it, you know, in their clubs or events that they participate in. A lot of people just get it through school. They don't have any morality. That's really what my point was to him, is that there is no guideline. There's a lot of people today, if you said the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, they're going to look at you like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Kingdom of who? Who's this God you're talking about? Which God? How many gods are we talking about? You know, and they're so confused in our society. And so he told them, he said, woe unto Chorazin, unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon that had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And so Jesus, he was illustrating that he was letting the 70 know that they're going to be rejected. Well, they went. And in the 17th verse, it said the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, he told them. He gave them, in his instructions, he told them if they would do like he told them to do, that they would be received by some and that there would be healings. He didn't mention that devils would be subject to them, but it was a byproduct, if you will. It was a result of them following his instructions that there were other things that came along. And so now they went from being this weak as water, this lamb among wolves. They had experience behind them. They not only had instruction from a great teacher. That's what we all want, isn't it? We all want instruction. We all love inspired instruction. I don't care who you are. When you find something that you like doing, and then you are able to pair up with an instructor that shows you how to do it better or more perfectly, it's awesome. It is awesome. I mean, I just got to tell you, just as an illustration, I hope you'll excuse me for mentioning it, but I've been riding a motorcycle since I was 10 years old. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I took a course. And this guy had been teaching motorcycle safety course for I don't know how long. And he started pointing out the things that I was doing wrong. And then he started showing me how I could do things better. My confidence level just went through the roof because it's something I enjoy, something I love doing. And then I got stuck with a teacher who showed me how to do it even better. Whether you're playing a horn, don't you appreciate our good band tonight? I appreciate it. Appreciate our band directors. Whether it's cooking in the kitchen, learning a new trade, there's nothing better than getting hooked up with an inspired instructor. Well, there is something a little bit better. It's when you take what they taught you and you put it into practice, and now you've got confidence. You've got experience. You've got knowledge. And now you've got confidence. Well, the disciples, they found that confidence. And they came back and they said, look, how wonderful is this that even the devils are subject to thy name. They were full of vigor. They were alive. There was something working inside them. And Jesus told them, he brought them right back down, Brother Thompson, to charity. He brought them right back around to, though you understand all mysteries, though you know everything there is to know, he brought them right back down to, he said, don't rejoice. That the angels, he said, don't rejoice. Right. I just didn't want to skip these. In the 17th verse, they said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In the 18th verse, he said, and he wasn't mocking them when he said this, but he said, look, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from above. Here you guys are rejoicing how that the devils are subject to you, and I beheld Satan. And he was just giving an illustration that, yes, we've all seen great things. We've all had, power. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, notwithstanding in this, he said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And here again, I go right back to whenever he sent them out. They were green, wet behind the ears. They didn't have any experience. But God was still with them, and he made up the difference. Their confidence grew, and as Brother Thompson said, the more he learns, the more he realizes, the more he needs to learn. Same for me. Brother Linegar said he'd trade everything he knew for everything he didn't. I believe that's true. He said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in this today, saints, and all the deficiencies that we have in our world, and all the insufficiencies that we have in our personal lives, all the things that we feel like we're doing that we're lacking, our inabilities to take care of this or to meet that or to heal this or to console that, and all the areas of our life that we feel like that we're doing, that we're insufficient. Know that God will make the difference. Now, he may do it through some miraculous event, or he may do it through your brother and your sister, or he may even do it through your enemy. Did you know that that God may even cause your enemies to bless you? He'll do it. Know this, so that no matter where you're deficient, stay true to your calling. Stay true to your calling and be blessed. When you find that place in your life, and you know you're lacking, and you just can't see your way forward, and you just want to sit down and, God, I can't do this. I feel so inadequate, insufficient. Just rest in his arms. Just relax. Trust him. He's with us. The Bible says that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He'll go with you to the end. How does that... Oh, I wanted to finish that. Jesus got excited when he told his disciples that. And I don't know if I've ever made note of this in my Bible, and I don't know if I've ever heard anybody preach about it, about the times that Jesus gets excited. But he got excited in this setting. In the 21st verse, he said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. He said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. And he told his disciples, he said, blessed are your eyes, which see the things that ye see. He said, he was excited. He was so excited that his disciples realized that they came to terms with this notion, this idea, that it wasn't within their own strength. That it wasn't their great political might or the money that they had in their pocket or their armed defenses. It wasn't anything that they did. They began to understand that God's greatness was what healed the sick. God's greatness is what provided food for them on a daily basis. God's greatness is what brought inspiration to them, what helped them along the way, what provided their day-to-day needs. Oh, hallelujah. They begin to see it. And then Jesus got excited that they saw it. And he said, I thank you, Father. He said, I thank you, Father. He said that you've allowed me to reveal this to them. And he told his disciples, he said, blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. He said, for I tell you this, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things. There's men that's lived through ages of time. There's been kings and prophets and politicians and wise men that have studied and studied and sought to figure out just who God is. Just why does God bless somebody? Bless this person, but he don't bless this person. Why does God bless this nation, but he don't bless this nation? Why did God just wipe out all of Pharaoh's army just like that with a wave of water? There's been people throughout time that's been trying to figure out God and how great he is and why he does this and why he does that. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, there's been many prophets and kings that have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. You want to know why you're blessed tonight? It's because God touched your eyes. He planted something down in your life where that you can go through a trial or a test, where you can come up on a situation where there's a need, and you can put your 100% trust in God, and you can know with confidence that God will supply every need according to his riches and glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, they have not seen them. And he said, and to hear those things which ye hear, and they have not heard them. It's not us, saints, but it is us. Be true to your calling. It's our calling to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. He's not exalting us because he thinks we're so good. He's lifting us up so that we will have the confidence, the understanding, the experience, the knowledge, the wisdom to know how to help those that need it. That's our responsibility. That's why we're here. That's why we learn these things that we learn. That's why we know that though you have all knowledge, though you have all these great things, and if you don't have God's love working down in your life, it's all for naught. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then he goes on into the Good Samaritan. Isn't it amazing how that, you know, one went this way and one went that way, and the Good Samaritan came along and poured in the oil and the wine. What a wonderful thing it is to be in the house of God. What a wonderful blessing it is for us. My God, we are so blessed. Praise God. Let's be careful tonight as we go home. Take our time. It's like everybody had pent up. We got out on the freeway, and I mean, there was cars. Brother Crafton, I don't know if you came from Cabot tonight, but there was, it's like every speed demon on the planet was on 630. And they were darting in, you know, these little bitty cars darting in and out of traffic. Like I told my wife, I said, you'd think they hadn't been driving for 2 or 3 days. They got all this pent up, you know, they're all, you know, Dale Earnhardt or I don't know who these race car drivers are, Ricky Bobby or something like that. I don't know who these guys are, but you'd think they're all on a racetrack out there trying to, you know, just like they hadn't been driving for a few days. And I guess probably some of them hadn't. So let's be careful going home. Remember those that are going to the meeting to Houston. There's a pastor in Bowling Green, Brother Dennis Heimer, is in the hospital right now with some sort of kinked bowel problem or something, severe pain, according to the report. He's the pastor there working under Brother Dave's. We want to remember him in prayer. And all those that are trying to get through the weather back and forth. We have some weather, more even coming this weekend. So let's all stand here tonight and be dismissed and remember those needs that have been mentioned, and then be back here on Sunday morning for breakfast at 9:30 and Bible study at 10 and service at 11. Praise God. Lord, we love you. What a great privilege it is, Lord, to walk, oh God, and hold your hand, to know that you're directing our steps, to know that our life is hid in you, that our faith, our hope, everything that we have, Lord, is all because of you. My Lord, the blessing that you've reached down and touched our eyes and given us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, what you're doing. To know that you're the Son of God, risen from the grave, hallelujah, to bring salvation and hope to a lost world, oh God. What a great privilege it is, Lord, to have this message burning within our heart. Oh God, to know that we're children of the Most High God, hallelujah, and that you're the Savior of the whole world, hallelujah. Oh Jesus, guide us, direct our steps, Lord, and lead us in the pathway of righteousness. Watch over those that are traveling to the meeting. Bless those that are sick and afflicted. Hallelujah. Good night, everybody. Praise God.